continue. Often someone will point out that Pucker Nicely, we'll call her PN, will likely want to sue Direct Hit, DH, for battery. Perhaps that's what you have in mind. This illustrates the desire of law students to sound lawyer-like, the misconception that the idea is to pounce on something legal. However, the response goes beyond what step one calls for in my question. I just asked, anyone against anyone in the first 2.5 lines. Clearly, Pucker Nicely and Direct Hit are having a problem. They could end up in court in litigation, so PN versus DH is the answer I'm looking for. It may be that whether DH battered PN is a relevant issue, it probably is, but to mention battery reflects the haphazard, seize upon anything legal that pops into your head approach that we're trying to avoid. It's major mistake number one. This is where discipline is required. No legal thinking, just the limited inquiry, who's against whom? So we've got the conflict pairing PN versus DH. On your sheet labeled torts, quickly note PN v. DH. Stop. Continue. Why do I put PN first? Does that mean she's the plaintiff? Not necessarily. It just reflects my initial impression that PN is more pissed off. She's likely to initiate any legal proceeding, so I put her first. I could have put DH first. Someone has to go first. The important thing at this juncture is that they're in conflict. Now complete the step one inquiry as to PN and DH. What, in a practical, common sense way, would each want if they ended up in court? What are PN and DH's respective objectives? Stop. Continue. Someone typically says PN wants to prove or establish that DH battered her. Again, we see the urge to sound legal. But I'm asking for PN's objective, not her lawyer's. Do you think PN even knows the word battery? What does PN want? What's her common sense objective when she goes to court? Stop. Continue. Revenge, someone says. Yes, she probably wants to get back at DH, to punish him. And how do you punish someone in a courtroom? Stop. Continue. By getting their money, right? Don't say damages. PN doesn't know that term either. When you're thinking about party objectives, try to see things through the eyes of the litigant. Common sense objectives. In this case, PN wants money. So put an M for money just below PN on the left side of your sheet. Stop. Continue. Some students posit that PN wants to be left alone. Someone may add, she wants a protective order. Sounds very legal, doesn't it? But could a court entertaining a torts action award an order of protection? Probably not. PN would probably have to go to a court of domestic relations or a criminal court to obtain a protective or restraining order. When you're thinking about party objectives, not only must the objective be relevant to the question and facts, it must also be relevant to the context in which you're operating. This being a torts exercise, the relevant objective would be money. If one party to litigation has an objective, the other must have a competing counter-objective. What is DH's counter-objective vis-a-vis PN wanting money? Stop. Continue. Not to pay the money. That's all. Common sense. Put NP for not pay just below DH on the right side of your outline. Stop. Continue. Step one says objective or objectives of either party. Do any other objectives of PN or DH occur to you that haven't yet been mentioned? Stop. Continue. Only after a while does someone in the live program come up with another objective. If you haven't, here's a hint. Bloody nose. Stop. Continue. Okay, don't say DH can sue or countersue, but he wants what? He's got a bloody nose, so he may want money. Skip down a few lines and put M for money on DH's side. Stop. Continue. As noted, few in the live program come up with DH wanting money, perhaps two or three in a group of 50, and that only after a bit of prodding. If you didn't, why not? You see it now, don't you? Because most students dislike DH, on reading the first paragraph, you may think, what a jerk. It doesn't occur to you that DH may seek redress against PN, because he seems so clearly in the wrong. If that's the case, and the reason you didn't see DH's objective of money, then you're guilty of major mistake number three, which we'll get to a bit later. It's called lack of objectivity, which means emotional involvement with the facts. It means you think the exercise is about choosing winners and losers, good guys and bad guys. Lack of objectivity blinds you to things in the facts, and most law students are guilty of it. We'll come back to this. For now, keep your emotions out of it, as a good lawyer would. If DH wants money, what's PN's counter-objective? Not to pay. So put an NP on her side of the ledger. Compare your outline with diagram 7. Stop. Continue. Any other objectives of PN or DH? No? Then keep moving. Step 1 should go very quickly, but you have to understand it and practice it and be disciplined. Only look for elephant. Moving on to the next paragraph, page 90, do you see another conflict pairing? Stop. Continue. You should note that the mother, Mrs. Nicely, Ms. N for short, is having a problem with DH. Do you agree that she would initiate litigation? And her objective in court would be money, his not to pay. And that's about it for them. Step 1. Since you should have no trouble remembering the respective objectives of Ms. N and DH, money, not pay, you probably needn't reflect these objectives in your outline. Just note Ms. N versus DH. The less you put in your response outline, the better. Keep moving. Lawyering is a game, but games are not fun if you don't have the skills. We want to make law school and law exams a game, a fun game. Step 1 is one of the skills you must develop. So, what other conflict pairings and objectives are revealed on page 90? Remember to just focus on the limited task posed by Elephant. Take no more than a minute. Stop.